It is certainly my privilege to be able to address you tonight and be able to bring you the lesson tonight. It's also a great honor for my wife and my son, Josias, to be able to be here with you and to spend these days with you during the last week and the upcoming week for the BBS, and we're really excited about it. If you're having a hard time pronouncing Josias' name, just think of King Josias. You can find his name on the first chapter of Matthew. And in the Old Testament, of course, it will be Josiah. But it's spelled like Josias, like you can find it in Matthew. But it is certainly an honor, and I hope we can be edified tonight and really encouraged by the Word of God. And let me tell you that most of the most interesting stories and conversations happen on places where you travel, like, for instance, bus stations or airports. I remember one time I was in an airport waiting for a flight to Mexico, and just accidentally, I don't know what happened, but I got in the wrong line. And as I was ready to board, I showed my ticket and my passport and so on, and the flight attendant there said, "Well, this ticket says you're going to Mexico." And I said, "Yeah, that's right." And he said, "Well, but this plane is going to France. It's going to Paris, France." And then he said, "You don't want to go to Paris." And then I thought for a second. I said, "Well, I'm in college, going home for the summer." And then I say, real quick, "Oh, yes, I do." And he said, "Well, but you don't have a ticket to go there." So wrong line. So I quickly find the line I was supposed to be. And here we go, happily going home. But when we think about this type of places, airports or bus stations or so on, we understand that no one's there just to hang out or just to have fun or just to see what happens. Whoever's at the airport or at a bus station have a purpose to be there. Even each plane that's lined up to go somewhere, they're not going to just be flying around to see who wants to join and just fly around to whoever, whatever they want to go. Each plane, each pilot, each bus driver, each of us going in that bus, going in that plane, we have a purpose. And it's the same with our life. In our life, we do have a purpose. And we can be sure and we can know that we have a purpose in this life. We're not in this life just wandering around, see what happens. We were created for a purpose. And the Bible is very clear about this subject. We can know and we can be sure that we have a purpose for our life. Now, how can we know that we have purpose? Why are we sure that we have a purpose? Well, I'm going to give you two reasons from the Bible that we can know we have a purpose in this life, for our life, for your life. So in the first place, we know and we're sure that we have a purpose in this life because of our privileges. What does this mean? Well, turn with me, if you want, to the book of Genesis, and we're going to be looking at several passages there in the book of Genesis, but we're going to start in chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. I want to look at one of the privileges God has given us, which show that we have a purpose in this life. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, and we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. If we see the account of the creation, none of the things created, none of the animals, nobody, nothing, but just man was created in the image of God. So we have been created to be in the image of God. That's one of the privileges we have as human beings. And that speaks of a purpose. We have a purpose because we have been created in the image of God. So, but what does this mean, to be created in the image of God? Well, it means several things, but I have three things here for you that we can learn from being created in the image of God. In the first place, being created in the image of God means that we have a mind. We have a reason. We can understand. We can reason. If you notice in verse 28, in Genesis, as soon as man was created, God was able to bless them, and then he said unto them, he was able to speak to them, talk to them. Why? Because as human beings, we can understand what is being spoken to us, what is has been written. We have that capability, that privilege of understanding. And now notice in verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Well, he told this to man because man understood what God was talking about. As human beings, we have a mind. We're created in the image of God in that way. We learn later on in the New Testament that Paul was going, for example, when he was in the city of Thessalonica, he was going from synagogue to synagogue, and in this particular place, he stayed for 3 days, and in Acts 17, the first two verses, we read that Paul, as was his manner, he went into them, and for 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And he was trying to convince them, telling them that Jesus is the Christ whom the prophets prophesied. So Paul was able to reason with them because we as human beings, we have the privilege to have mind and to be created after the image of God. Now, not only do we have mind, we also have free will. As human beings, we have the privilege of having a free will, and that speaks of purpose for our lives. What happened to Joshua? Do we remember when they were fixing to go into the promised land? And then Joshua told them, well, you have options here. You can either worship the gods that we used to worship back home. You can either worship the gods to the land where we're fixing to go across. But you know what? As for me and my family, we have chosen freely, out of our own free will, we have chosen to serve the Lord. We have free will. We have free moral agents. Now in Revelation 22:17, if you wanna write a note about it, but we read that whosoever will, let him come. Let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. As human beings, we have free will. We have been made in the image of God. Not only do we have a mind, not only do we have free will, but being created in the image of God also means that we have a conscience. And we notice we can learn about the conscience. Once Adam and Eve, notice if you're still in Genesis, notice in chapter 3, once Adam and Eve knew what they were supposed to do, or once they violated the law of God for the first time, they knew in their mind, in their conscience, that they had done wrong. And this only belongs to human beings. And this speaks of purpose for our lives. Notice what happened in verse 3 and verse 8, in chapter 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Why did they do this? Because they knew they had done wrong. And then God asked him, where art thou? Where are you? Well, because we were naked, we hid ourselves. Well, then who told you you were naked? And then our conscience can be taught. But the Bible speaks of a good conscience. It's not just any type of conscience. The conscience can be seared as to where we do not cannot tell from good or bad. Everything is the same. But we notice that Adam's and Eve's conscience was not seared with a hot iron, like we read later on in the letters of Paul. It was a good conscience because it accused them that they had done wrong, and they hid themselves, and they understood what they did. So being created in the image of God is a privilege, and this speaks of purpose. But we can notice that it is not the only privilege we have as human beings that speaks of purpose for our life. Notice in the second place that we have been created also not only to be in the image of God, but also to enjoy the fruit of our work. And this also speaks of purpose. Which other animal enjoys the fruit of their work at the same way we do? And this speaks of purpose as human beings. Notice once, if you go back with me to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, it reads that, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to kill it. How beautiful. God gave him a task. As human beings, we're not just to be there idle. As human beings, we're not to be just busybodies. As human beings, we need to be busy in our work. We need to be about the Lord's business. But look at this example. He was in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And then verse 16. I'm in chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. You're going to keep it. You're going to take care of it. But guess what? Everything is for you to enjoy. You have this privilege. You're going to work for it. You're going to keep it. You're going to water it. And it's for you. You enjoy it. Because it's the fruit of your work. So as human beings also, like Adam and Eve in this case, and all human beings, we also have the privilege of enjoying the fruit of our work. What happens, for example, when we have heard people say, well, I love what I do. I enjoy what I'm doing. And also I'm getting paid for it. That's the best thing, the best part. Well, when we work, we can enjoy what we do. That's a privilege as human beings have. We have. We can enjoy what we do. We can also enjoy what we earn. Notice, we can also enjoy what we give as a fruit of our work. And that's a privilege as well. Be able to give out of the fruit of our work. Because the Lord said it is more blessed to give than what? Than to receive. I hope you're not asleep yet. Because it happened to one preacher that somebody slept in the pew, and then he told the lady next to him, would you please wake him up? And then the sister said, well, you wake him up. You put him to sleep, preacher. So I hope this doesn't happen here, okay? But everybody stay awake. But this is what happens. Now, we have a purpose, we hope, because notice what Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, just quickly. If you want to go with me there, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2 and verse 24, and different verses in this book speak of what Solomon's conclusion was about work. He says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. It is good that men work and enjoy the fruit of his work. And this privilege speaks of having a purpose in our life, because we can do so much with our work. Now imagine the work for the Lord, what we can do as well. That speaks also of purpose. Notice, we have seen that we have a purpose. We can know that we have a purpose in this life because of our privileges. And there are many privileges we can talk about as human beings that God has given to us. He put us on top of all the creation. He crowned us with honor and glory. We read this on Psalm 8. And this is a great privilege we have as human beings. But not only can we tell that we have a purpose in this life because of our privileges, we can also tell that we have a purpose in this life because of our responsibilities as well. Not only do we have privileges, but we also have responsibilities of human beings. Responsibilities that none other of the creative animals or plants or fish or anything have. They don't have this responsibility, but only we do. We have the responsibility, and one of those responsibilities is that we have been created to obey God's commandments. That's one of our responsibilities as human beings, and this speaks of purpose. You notice, we go back to Genesis chapter 2. Notice in verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. The Lord God commanded man. Man was able to receive instructions, was able to understand. Therefore, also God giving a commandment to keep. From the beginning, all the way to the end, until today, we have commandments from God. And that speaks of purpose. We're not just to be wandering around to see what happens, to see who feels is good, or to see what the majority says, or, or see, well, I think this is good, this is bad, or let's do whatever we want to do, and nobody is wrong, everybody's right, let's just agree to disagree. We have commandments, specific commandments from God, and we are to follow them, and that speaks of purpose for our lives. So the first thing he did, God, to Adam, he gave him a commandment. Now we can keep on reading on the Bible, throughout the Bible, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Thou and thy son and thy son's sons all the days of thy life. This is our purpose, to keep the commandments of God. Solomon said, you know, we remember King Solomon. He tried to find life's purpose. And he can give us really good insights about what's life purpose is. But then he decided to do an experiment. He said, well, I'm going to check on riches. Maybe our purpose in life is just to be rich as we can. Well, of riches, he came to this conclusion. He said, riches are vanity. That's what there is. It's vanity. You can be as rich as you can, but it's still going to be vain at the end of the day. This is not the purpose of life. Well, then he looked on pleasure. Well, maybe we need to enjoy ourselves with no restriction. We can do whatever we do we want to do, or our eyes desire, whatever we feel to do, we can just do it instantly and enjoy all the pleasures of this life, even the bad ones. But at the end of the day, he said, well, he wrote about these pleasures, and he said, what do with it? What's the good on these pleasures? What's the purpose on these pleasures? And then he went on, and then he looked at wisdom. He said, I'm going to research, I'm going to study, I'm going to become the wisest man on the earth, and he did become one of the wisest men of the earth. But then he sat down, and then he was, as he was looking at the fools, as he calls them, he said, well, wait a minute. I've been studying all my life. I've been trying to be the wisest man on the earth. But I've noticed something. The same thing is going to happen to me that's happening to that man who didn't even study a bit. This is also vain. But then what did he conclude? If we read, for example, over there in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3, we're going to be in agreement that commandments play a role, important role in our purpose in this life. Ecclesiastes 12:3, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and what? And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. It's interesting that the English version adds the word duty. And it's in italics because it should not be there. It was added by the translators, but we read the Spanish version, the word duty is not there. We translate it, this is the whole of man. This is the everything of man. Now we add the word duty, it makes it more specific. But there's nothing that we can do as human beings that speaks of purpose from God than to obey his commandments. And his commandments are in the Bible. His commandments, we can find them clearly. We can understand them, each one of them. Now, not only do we have commandments as a responsibility, but also, as human beings, we have been created to give account of our doings. And this also speaks of purpose. Can we think of maybe a dog or an animal in the zoo that has to give account for what they do? None of them. No plant, no tree, no nothing. They don't have to give account of what they do. We do have to give account of what we do in this life. Same thing happened to Adam and Eve. We can go back to Genesis chapter 3. And for instance, in in chapter 3 and verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, notice what happened. He's gonna begin asking him some questions. First question, where art thou? Who is God to ask him for, where art thou? You were created, didn't ask for where is the tree or where are the animals? He said, where art thou? You are the one responsible for what you have done. You have to give account of what you just did. Verse 10, and he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Notice verse 11. And he said, second question, who told thee that you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? But God, why are you asking me these questions? I'm just an animal, just like any other animal. No, you're not. You were created in my image. I have given you my commandments as responsibility, and now you have to give account of what you have done, with which I just told you. And now the third question, hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Sometimes I wonder if God just didn't know this. I think he did. For sure he did. It's asking him for him to reflect on what he had just done. Because God had the authority to ask him this question, because as human beings, we have created to give an account of everything that we do. Notice in verse 12, and then man said, the woman who thou givest to me, to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And then verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, notice four questions. Now he turns into the woman. It was such a gentleman. He said, well, ladies first, go ahead and ask her first, and then you come back and deal with me. And ever since, we are all just gentlemen. We let women go first. So Adam said, okay, here you go. Go ask her. And then notice the fourth question. And now Eve was hoping that God was never going to get to her. But notice, he got to her, to the point of the matter. And then fourth question. What is this that thou hast done? He asked the woman. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did it. We are created as human beings to give account of everything that we do in this life. Not only can we learn this from what happened to Adam and Eve, we can learn this from the rest of the Bible. We read, for example, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We might know this by memory, where it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Notice how interesting it is. We're going to receive according to what we have done. If it was good, we're going to receive something because we have done something good. If we did something bad, we're going to receive something because we have done something bad. Sometimes we focus just on receiving bad things for the bad things that we did. But notice, if we do good things, we're going to receive according to that. And we read that also in Matthew 16 and verse 27. Where it reads, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward. He shall reward every man according to his works. We're going to receive a reward. We're going to have to give account one day of what we have done in the body. What we have done in our lives. But this speaks of purpose. We have a purpose in this life. How can we know it? Well, we can know it. We can be sure that we have purpose in this life. We have seen just two reasons. And there's many more reasons. We can know we have a purpose in this life. But what, the reason we just have seen, we can know that we have purpose in this life because of our privileges. Our privileges speak of purpose in this life. And not only that, we can know that we have purpose in this life because of our responsibilities. And our responsibilities speak of purpose in this life. But what is our purpose in this life? What is life for? What is our purpose after all? Well, this is just a purpose. To enjoy all our privileges, but also fulfill all our responsibilities. And there is no greater privilege, and one day be able to be with God the Father in heaven. That's a privilege we all have, but it comes with a condition. In order to enjoy that privilege, we must first obey the gospel plan of salvation, and then we can be able to enjoy that great privilege. So once we have heard the message, it is our responsibility to believe it. The preacher preached the message. The teacher taught the lesson, but now it's our responsibility to believe it or not. But once you have believed the message, it is your responsibility to understand it and understand that your sins are trespasses against God. And it's your responsibility to repent from your lifestyle of sin in order to now obey the Lord. Once you have done this, it's your responsibility to confess Christ as the Son of God and as the only way to the Father before man. And once you have done this, it is your responsibility to put on Christ in the waters of baptism. That's the greatest responsibility we have in this life, to obey the gospel and then enjoy all the many blessings that follow. So this is our purpose in life. Some of us have understood it, and some of you have understood it and are trying to fulfill it. There may be somebody here visiting us, maybe a friend, maybe somebody who is the first time coming here or has been visiting the church. This is the greatest purpose in life we have, to obey God's commandment and enjoy the privileges that follow. One of the greatest of God's commandments is obeying the gospel. And then you will enjoy the great privilege of having your sins forgiven. And if you remain faithful, you will enjoy the great privilege of being with the Father for eternity. If somebody has not obeyed the gospel tonight, we're going to ask you to please do so while we stand and while we sing the song of